Shadow governments, strange rituals, new world
shadow
order,
governments, strange
buried treasures,
new
planetary mind control, military
corruption, shadow governments, strange rituals, new world order, buried treasures, planetary mind control, corporate
Out there. It's a strange world.
Visit outthereradio.net for more information.
Are you ready? April 19th at the Crum Theater in Columbus, Indiana. Eerie Radio, Indiana Spy, and Crossroads Paranormal present the Indiana Phenomicon 2008 with special guests Linda Zimmerman and Wanda Lou Willis. Visit www.phenomicon.net for more information and to purchase tickets. Indiana Phenomicon 2008. Be there if you dare.
Ghost Society's 12th Annual Haunted American Conference will be held June 20th and 21st in Decatur, Illinois.
Hosted by Troy Taylor at the Haunted Lincoln Theater.
Speakers include Patrick Burns, John Zaffis, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and Keith Age.
Also, Lynn Adams, Luke Nalbarski, Dale Kazmarek, Stephen LeChance, and psychic Ken Bird.
Don't miss this two-day event with special investigations and tours sold on a first-come, first-served basis.
To register, guys, go to www.prairieghost.com/conference.html or just call 1-888-446-7859.
Broadcasting live from this event will be the Ghostly Talk radio crew and Nathan S. and Sean B. from the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
Witness a special live performance on the Lincoln stage from Spectrum Men, the Atlanta horror punk band made up of real-life ghost hunters.
Admission remains the same as 1997, $50 per person.
It's the 12th Annual Haunted America Conference in Decatur, Illinois with Troy Taylor. Register now.
Nice job.
Way to go, Douglas.
I'm driving tonight.
Doug is driving the board.
I'm on my learner's permit.
About to be revoked.
No, that was pretty good.
I'm kidding.
Your fade was a little quick, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Rosemary Ellen Guiley is one of the foremost authorities on the paranormal and supernatural. With 31 books, 8 encyclopedias, and hundreds of articles on a wide range of the paranormal, spiritual, and mystical topics, she possesses an exceptional knowledge of the field. Her popular encyclopedias on ghosts and spirits, angels, vampires, and werewolves, magic and alchemy, dreams, mystical and paranormal experience, and saints are considered essential sources for authors, researchers, film, and documentary producers, and paranormal investigators. Her work has been translated into 13 languages and has been selected by major clubs around the world. With that, I'd like to welcome back our dear friend, our dear, dear friend. You can get her at www.visionaryliving.com. Rosemary Ellen Guiley, welcome back to Ghostly Talk. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. It's great to be back with you.
Oh, God, we love having you on. You know that.
One of my favorite shows.
One of your favorite shows.
I think we were joking around about that.
Yeah, we were just kidding around. No, you don't need to say that.
There's no actual contract.
He told me 15 times so I got my first hit.
Rosemary, you are out there. You are one of those ladies that's always out there. We always hear something that you got going on. You drop on Coast to Coast AM a lot too. You know, talking about Frank's Box. When's the last time you were on there? Were you on there in October the last time, or have you been on since then?
I've been on. Last time was December. That's when I took the Frank's Box, the mini box, the Radio Shack hack into the studio with George. We couldn't do a demonstration live because the studio, we just couldn't get signals through the studio.
Uh-huh.
But I did play some files, and we did talk about Frank's Box technology and what the potential for it is.
Well, what is the potential? Because there's a lot of, I'm sure you know, because you've been doing a ton of work on this. And I've actually, you weren't there for that at the Mothman Festival.
I wasn't.
But myself and Amber were there when you and Marcus Leader, the Marcus Leader, we both know him very well, Rosemary. You guys were working with the Frank's Box at the Low Hotel. We got to actually watch you guys in action. But I'm wondering, you know, there's been a lot of debate about this. There's been a ton of debate about the Frank's Box. And I'm wondering, you know, you have been doing tons of research on this. What are you getting, what results are you getting, first of all? And are you know, I'm sure it sounds like you're for it as far as the Frank's Box is concerned. So I'm wondering, you know, why this may pave the way to maybe a whole new generation or a new idea or way of ghost hunting.
First of all, I think this is going to be controversial for a long time. The technology is still very uneven. Results are very uneven. My results are very uneven. But now that we have boxes proliferating among paranormal researchers because versions of it are now commercially available, you can make your own Radio Shack hack, for example, for under $30, and it functions pretty well as a Frank's Box. You can buy the next gen on, the mini box, set you back a few hundred dollars, but it's very good. Mm-hmm. The potential is that more and more people are going to have these devices. We can compare our research results. We can coordinate experiments to scan at the same time. And for people out there who are unfamiliar with Frank's box, even though it's the biggest buzzword going in the past year or so, it's radio scan technology that sets up an audio noise matrix intended to facilitate two-way real-time communication with the dead in other realms. It's like real-time EVP. And I've gotten some very interesting results with my equipment. Like I said, it's still uneven, but I think as the technology improves, we get closer and closer to having perhaps sustained conversations rather than just snatches of words and phrases.
Okay. Well, yeah, and you say uneven too. That has to do with the words and phrases type thing.
Yes, and the environment. You see, I take my equipment around to different locations. I like to try it out at haunted locations. Sometimes you can't get a good scan because it scans low band frequency, and if there's not a lot of AM radio stations in an area, for example, you're not going to get a good noise matrix. Sometimes the location itself doesn't seem to facilitate the manifestation of communication. And then other times, the box can be quite active.
Okay.
Or what comes through the box, that is.
More or less depending, I guess, on the environment. I mean,
Well, the environment, what's going on in the AM bands. But why would a ghost use an AM band or AM frequencies, like a scanner of that, to talk to you? Why do you think that
That's a good question in terms of why would they want to. It may not be want, it may be able. The idea of using some sort of matrix in the physical world for the non-physical to impress something on has been experimented with for quite a while in EVP and in closed-loop video and instrumental transcommunication, which is the high-tech end of the evolution of EVP. And it seems that having something in the physical world that can be impressed upon, a closed video loop, for example, like even snow on TV, seems to be able to be manipulated in some way. And how and why, those are good questions. We simply don't know. We don't even know how EVP works exactly, and that's been debated for quite a while as to whether or not there are actual voices that impress themselves on physical media, or it's some other mechanism that we don't understand. But regardless of our understanding of how it happens, we have evidence that it happens. And I say evidence, not proof. Nobody can prove that they're getting actual communication from the other realms. There's some compelling evidence in support of that, and I think it's important to collect high-quality evidence to build up a case for this sort of bridge technology.
And what's the when you actually create this thing, you're working, you know, with an intention. So you're putting an intention out there when you're you know, taking the Radio Shack item and manipulating or, you know, breaking it or whatever to make it do its thing. Or if you're building, you know, from a schematic, whatever it is, you're putting some kind of intention out there, which is a key thing that people say that you need. Even ITC, you know, research is, you know, has a lot to do with intention. So you're putting an intention out there, and then when you actually, you know, use it to scan the airwaves, you know, you are creating a medium at that point for them to use, you know, for somebody on the other side to use, which is really interesting. But the messages that you get, because I'm familiar with, you know, the EVPs, I've heard, you know, literally thousands of them, and some of them are really, really creepy, and some of them are not so creepy, but they do seem fairly random. The messages that you get, are they less random seeming than EVP at large?
I would say they seem to be comparable to EVP. And the salient difference is that you're getting them real time as opposed to recording that you have to listen to later. On the other hand, there are still EVP messages that come through even on top of the scan. I always record, and quite often I will have stuff that the recorder picks up that I haven't heard in real-time communication. Most of them do. Most of the communications do seem to be short words and phrases. My personal feeling is that the communication has a lot of difficulties, dimension to dimension, and it may be that they're only capable of getting a few words across at a time, and that we may be able to improve on that. Now, the inventor of Frank's box, Frank Sumption, has gotten complete sentences. Now, he leaves his equipment running at home. That's the way he prefers to do his research, and he records it and then listens to the recording. He has sent me a number of clips where there are messages. He sent, for example, messages for me that have come across his equipment that are complete sentences. The things that I've gotten tend to be more short answers, like a 1-to-3-word answer to a question. Sometimes messages that aren't related to questions you're posing seem to come through, as though somebody's waiting for the opportunity to say something. And it's possible to distinguish male from female voices sometimes. There are spirit communicators that seem to come through or identify themselves as such. And then sometimes we get the unpleasant personality who wants to be rather nasty, and then it's time to turn the box off.
How bizarre. And what are the chances of audio matrixing? Because, you know, if you stare at pictures long enough, you know, you can sometimes see things that maybe aren't there, and because your brain is trying to organize, you know, visual information into a pattern, and it may recognize a face in a bunch of leaves, for example. Or what about audio matrixing, like where you're listening to these, from what I understand, and I've not heard of Frank's Box yet, but it's supposed to be like a whole bunch of little tiny short, you know, kind of noises that come from over the air, and then amidst that is a message. So could there be audio matrixing going on?
Absolutely. It's a very real hazard, and right now there are no standards or protocols or criteria for evaluating these things. It's, you really kind of fly by the seat of your pants and your intuition, just like when you're evaluating EVP. The scan on some of these boxes can be regulated for rate of speed. And what the scan does is it pulls out words and phrases from broadcasts. And when it goes real fast, it seems that some of the words and phrases are in answer to questions. Some of it's rather uncanny. You have to take into consideration what's the likelihood that an unusual answer would just happen to be in the broadcast. You know, you're down to that sort of evaluation. But what I find more interesting than messages that come in the scan are messages that float on top of the scan. And I think that's where the real communication is. It's not what's coming through the broadcast. It's some sort of what I think an energy field is set up so that some other kind of communication can be superimposed. And that's where I've gotten the more interesting messages, floating on top of the scan.
And is these things, the one that you have, it's portable? I mean, you said you've taken it around to places. Does it work on batteries? Has the battery drained unnaturally? The normal ghost hunting kind of phenomena still happens, right?
Indeed it does. I have two Frank's boxes, and they both work on AA batteries. They require 24 AA batteries, and they don't last long, and sometimes they don't last at all, just like people who have their camera batteries inexplicably drained. The mini box, which was developed by Ron Ricketts down in Texas, which is kind of a smaller, sleeker Frank's box, runs on a gel battery that lasts for about 40 hours and is rechargeable. So for me, that's more ideal for going out into the field. Frank has made some of them that run off electricity, which is an advantage if you're in a building. And then you've got the vagaries of the broadcast themselves and all kinds of atmospheric conditions you're dealing with. That weekend at Mothman, we had some interesting things happen with the box. I just had one Frank's box with me, and the more interesting messages were those that were on top of the scan.
What's it like when you hear one of those more interesting, like, have you heard enough of them to know, ooh, that wasn't part of a broadcast, that was something else? I need to pay attention to that, or is it, you know, because obviously you can tell what's part of the broadcast because we've all heard radio before, right? And you kind of know what it sounds like. But this stuff that comes in over the top of it, do you notice it right away? And does that, you know, perk you up and make you, you know, snap to and pay attention?
It does, and I think you just have to experiment enough so that you develop a sense of what usually comes through the box, what usually happens as part of a scan, and that's how you are better able to evaluate what you get. But let me give you an example from that weekend at Point Pleasant. I kept my box in a crate, you know, a little Office Depot crate on wheels, because it's fairly good size. And one of the messages that floated on top of the scan was a throaty voice that said, "No crate." You know, like whatever was attached to the box didn't want to be in the crate. And it repeated it several times, "No crate." And it's clearly on top of the radio scan. I can't explain that.
Wow, so it was like a meaningful message to you. I mean, you understood what it meant. And,
right.
You know, because sometimes EVP, I mean, you've heard EVPs too, and sometimes EVP has no meaning to anybody, but there's like this message, you know, and you're like, oh, wow, you know, somebody wants to, you know, say something, and they say something that's totally unrelated to anybody who's there. And you don't understand the message, sometimes even in foreign languages, and nobody knows what it is until they find an interpreter. So it's so EVP sometimes is difficult to place, but this actually had meaning to you.
It did, mainly because I stored this device in a crate. And I have a recording of this, and you can clearly hear the radio scan going on in the background, and it's almost like someone whispering into a microphone on top of the scan. And it's a very distinguished voice that has shown up other times when I've used Frank's box, and I have not been able to identify who this particular communicator is, but it's always the same voice. And someone else that I work with in this area, April Slaughter, who is the co-founder of the Paranormal Source, she's the one who introduced me to the mini box, and she has had the same voice come across in some of her sessions as well. So it seems that there is a presence that wishes to communicate perhaps with us or perhaps through these devices in general. It has a very distinguished voice, and it is able to superimpose itself on top of the scan. Why we have not been able to get anything more meaningful other than messages that attract our attention, maybe this is the first stage of things.
And that's true. I mean, it may be building up, like as people are out there gaining experience and training their ears to hear, you know, not only the broadcast, the meanings of the snippets, but also the things on top of the snippets. So as people are training themselves for that, you know, on the other side, they may be ramping up too and learning how to use this new medium better. I mean, that's just a theory, but I figure that time will tell.
I think it's a learning curve on both sides, and it's always been emphasized in this field that intention and the consciousness of the researchers are key ingredients in this equation. And just like EVP, it seems that some individuals have a natural affinity for this sort of technology and serve as kind of psychic lightning rods for getting more results or more significant results than other people. I think there really is also a bonding of the operator with the equipment. And people who use their devices regularly, they imprint their equipment, whether it's a recorder, a camera, a Frank's box, you imprint that equipment with your energy. And it seems that communicators who are from other dimensional realms can respond to that imprinting and energy.
And, you know, that's interesting that you say that, because the same is true for your pendulums, for example, or dowsing rods. You know, with the back in history, you know, through the history of those two instruments, that was a key factor, was that the operator and the equipment became working as one kind of thing.
Well, we used to put crystals around your laptop and stuff when we were capturing EVP.
We were trying
to leave an imprint on the device.
And we would do that too. So I mean, we've experimented with that ourselves, but also the instrument and the person, you know, got to know each other and would hopefully work best together. Just the photographer and their camera.
Yeah.
Every photographer, I'm sure, has a favorite camera, you know.
And it's absolutely the same principle applies. I know Frank has experimented with crystals on his. I have not yet, but it's one of the things I'd like to do to see if that seems to change anything. One of the problems in this area of research is it's very difficult to establish control factors so that you can get some results that you can measure against, control set of criteria. We're dealing with subjective phenomena and varying conditions, and you can set, for example, a Frank's box out in the same room on consecutive nights and get very different transmissions. And what determines the variation in that, it's extremely difficult to say. But I think that there's so much potential in this research. And as I was saying earlier, the more people who have these devices now, the more creative we can be in our experiments, the more we can set up things like blinds, group scans, things like that, that it may yield some promising results.
And that's what I mean, obviously, work and work and work and research on this thing. That's what's going to yield the results, I think. And that's what, you know, that's what I've said from the beginning with Frank's box. I'm like, it seems like people need to start getting more intensive with that. Start doing blinds and stuff like that. Start working questions into this thing and see if you can verify things on a blinded end like that, like remote viewing, for example, and stuff like that. I think that's really what's going to, you know, show results and show people this may be a very useful tool here working on the paranormal and stuff like that.
Oh, I was just going to say, I had a conversation recently with Tom Butler. Tom and Lisa run the AAEVP. And Tom is very interested in trying to set some sort of research criteria or protocols or something that can help us evaluate what we get so that we can at least minimize the risk of audio matrixing.
Yeah, and that's obviously matrixing. And we... I know, I'm pretty sure we've probably played a few on our show in the past that may have just been a branch breaking or a scrape on the wall. I mean, but again, I mean, our defense will always be, hey, look, we always say that before we play this stuff. Hey, look, we're playing this. We don't know if it's real or not, you know, but maybe by doing these standards like you're talking about, Rosemary, can really start to lock down on things, get our arms around some of these things. And maybe start, you know, really focusing on the really good EVP work that's out there, or stuff from Frank's box too.
That's right, and I think we're just going to have to try a bunch of different approaches and see what starts to work the best.
All right, cool. Tell you what, Rosemary, we're going to take a quick break here, and Doug is like so eloquently all over the. See, Rosemary, we're training Doug on how to use the mixing board tonight, so he's like. He's looking good right now. You're looking really good. So
yes,
we're going to try to clunk into this break without any type of... Rosemary, hang on. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And I'm Bunny.
And we'll be right back after Doug pushes the button.
That's what I'm doing right now.
Would you like to listen to Ghostly Talk live on your cell phone? Perhaps you have a comment for us or our guests. All you have to do is dial 605-475-8590. When asked for the conference code, dial 555-1081, followed by the pound sign.
Do you feel like there's something happening in your home or business? Something you can't explain? Do you think that whatever is happening seems to be paranormal? Do they exist? Florida Ghost Hunters at FloridaGhostHunters.com are looking for haunted locations throughout Central Florida. Let the team at Florida Ghost Hunters investigate your paranormal experience. Their mission is to disprove a haunting with science, to find a reasonable explanation to a problem, and whatever is left becomes evidence. FloridaGhostHunters.com. If you've experienced paranormal activity in your home or business, you are urged to visit FloridaGhostHunters.com and click Need Help. FloridaGhostHunters.com.
Hi, this is Luke.
And this is Tobin from Quest Research.
Hey, Tobin, what do you get when four guys with absolutely no video experience whatsoever decide to produce their own online paranormal TV show?
I don't know. What? Oh, wait. I do know. Ghost Diaries, right?
That's right.
You can check us out and get involved at www.questresearch.net. And good thing about being new is that we will only get better.
Yes, Billings, Montana.
Billings, Montana?
Was good.
Yeah,
Love y'all.
It's the reason why people don't stop. It's the reason why LeBron always fights for the rock. Yeah. It's the reason brokers go for the stock. It's the reason why investors always racing the clock. Tick tock. It's the reason why NY doesn't sleep. It's the reason gangsters tote nines and pack they heat.
Uh-huh.
It's the reason thugs thug in the street. It's the reason mob men stay packed up and flee. Yeah. It's the reason why I don't waste time. It's the reason I put all heart into my rhymes.
Woo!
It's the reason criminals get knocked. It's the reason boys hustle and stay on the block.
Man!
It's the reason why pockets gain weight. And bigger reason why I decide to rep this state. A busy Montana, let's keep it in place. It's the reason culinary cooks fight for the taste. Yeah, it's the place where people dream to sit and won't stop and don't stop till there's a chair on it. Flares I spit, cause I'm in the same race too. The top of the world with confidence and lines of truth. Yeah,
we gonna make it to the top. We won't stop, no. I swallow so much pride. I deserve to enjoy this.
It's the reason big banks get knocked. It's the reason why snitches always talk to the cops.
Damn.
It's the reason running backs make cuts. It's the reason why offensive boys the punts.
Yeah.
It's the reason Roy Jones wrecks domes. It's the reason archaeologists brush old bones.
Man.
It's the reason pilots earn their wings. It's the reason why young men become Marines.
Hoorah.
It's the reason Fred Bush wants war. And the same reason why parents won't take it no more.
Uh-uh.
It's the reason pimps stay with a max. It's the reason place bets stay thick at the track.
Oh my God.
It's the reason smokers stay with a blunt. And the reason fake artists don't hesitate to affront.
Nah.
It's the reason why I stay clean, honest, focused, and mature about pursuing my dreams.
Yeah.
It's the place where people dream to sit and won't stop and don't stop till there's a chair on it. Flares I spit, cause I'm in the same race too. The top of the world with confidence and lines of truth. Yeah.
We gonna make it to the top. We won't stop, no. I swallowed so much pride. I deserve to enjoy this.
So do your thing, stay driven, keep holding it down. I want Billings to know, I respect this town. Respect this scene, man, just respect all around. So do unto me and others, respect my ground. It's the reason I make sure my daughter's safe and sound. And why big names love to rock sold out crowds. Hold up, it's why I love this music. Hip hop is way more than a thug's influence.
Now for a break.
Okay.
idea. It's the place where people dream to sit and won't stop and don't stop till there's a chair on it. Flares I spit, cause I'm in the same race too. The top of the world with confidence in lines of truth. Yeah.
We gonna make it to the top. We won't stop, no. I follow so much pride. I just love to enjoy this ride.
We gonna make it to the top. We won't stop, no, no, no. I follow so much pride. I deserve to enjoy this ride.
When you flashed, I saw what looked like a figure standing in the hall.
Okay, this is Green Team. We're ready for EVP sweep.
That is weird. These cameras don't do this.
Water supposedly will come off and on in various rooms.
It's like our EMF meter started some of the main ones.
You're listening to the number one source for paranormal evidence brought to you firsthand by real investigators in the field. No hoaxes, no disinformation. You're listening to The Ghost Project.
I found myself face to face with someone or something that was attempting to play with my psyche as well as my physical being.
How sure are you of that?
I'm 100% sure.
Sit back and relax.
This is the Doug Show with Bonnie.
But you've got
the Doug Show with Bonnie.
But you've still got to drive to close the show.
I'm driving.
Okay. But Rosemary, your website is www.visionaryliving.com, and we can find the books, the encyclopedias, and all of your upcoming activities on there, I'm sure. One of the interesting things is we initially met you at Mothman Festival. You go all over the place already for the festivals, the conferences, the things like that. And you also go ghost hunting. Where do you find the time?
I get asked that all the time, and I wish I had a good answer. And in fact, if I could clone myself, I could do even more, so I'm rather limited. I do get to go out with a lot of groups on investigations. I find that interesting and exciting always. I love doing that sort of field work, conferences. I'm in Santa Fe right now at a conference, the 10th Annual Science and Consciousness Conference, which is a fabulous event every year here in Santa Fe, and the emphasis being on consciousness, which is something that people in paranormal investigation are very much aware of, that our consciousness is multidimensional, we access other realities, and what we think and what our intentions are influence what we get back in the way of phenomena. And of course, this arena here is more oriented toward the scientific research end of things, but these areas are coming together. So to answer your question, yes, I do a lot of conferences and events. I got to keep up on the research. But, you know, I love this field. I'm constantly intrigued by what people are doing, what work they're doing, the results they're getting. I love meeting the people. I love doing the work. And it's been great all these years that I've been able to do it.
And you love the field. That's what I love to hear. That, you know, you're doing this because you really love to do it, Rosemary, and it shows because, I mean, you're always out there. You're always working on something, and, you know, we've talked so many times, and we've always had, you know, and it's always good to, you know, I always bring up ML always on this show, but, you know, it's always great to meet somebody who's as interested in Marcus Leader as I am, because he's a fantastic, I mean, and I remember this specifically when we were at the Mothman Festival this past year. We were walking around with Marcus kind of checking the place out, and we bumped into you guys. on the street there, right by where the festival happens the night before. And you,
that's
like,
right.
And we're like, you know, hey, Rosemary, this is Marcus Leader. And she, you know, I remember this, you know, perfect what you said was, I want to talk to you and pick your brain. Because that's Marcus Leader's the kind of person you want to do that, because he's such a fascinating person.
And that's what I like to do.
Yeah, especially someone like Marcus, because that's you eat your Wheaties for a job like that. That's a long day right there. But you're also doing a lot of work. Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, he's doing a lot of very interesting research. So we've had a lot of interesting conversations,
Yeah, he's a lot of fun. You're also doing, you do a lot of work and study and research on shadow people, too. And this comes up a lot on the show here, at least. People are, especially on the message board, I found. People are talking about the shadow people a lot. And you've been doing some work on this, some new research. You know, what have you been hitting up on this recently?
I've been pursuing my ET connection, which is something that started really popping out for me about the last year or so. That shadow people, definitely not ghosts, they weren't humans. I don't think they're demons, although there's some overlap with the demonic realm. I think that they're beings, some sort of ultra-terrestrial beings from another dimension who have a purpose of monitoring us. And who else does that? The ETs. So there's some connection there with the ETs, and I'm finding that people who have had significant ET experiences, many of them also have had shadow people experiences. Now, I've gone around to a lot of the leading abduction researchers in ufology to ask them if they have seen this connection, and the answer almost always is no. Not because the connection doesn't exist, they just haven't asked the right questions. They're focused on the ETs, and it hasn't occurred to anybody to ask about such things as shadow people.
Okay.
So I'm going a little more into the abduction community. I'm an editor of an online abduction magazine, and so I'm going deeper into abductees to get some material, more material on shadow people. Definitely there's a connection. I've seen it in a lot of the cases I've collected. I've got probably one of the largest databases on shadow people by now, because I've got hundreds of cases I've collected over the years.
Really?
And there are definite patterns to these things. But there's monitoring going on. So the question is, who's doing the monitoring? I've got some idea how they're monitoring us, but why? You know, what's the big agenda?
Well, and that's what's come up, is that, you know, that's a theory, is that these things, whatever they may be. Go ahead, Doug.
I was going to say, if they're monitoring my life, it's quite boring. I hope they're...
Except for last night.
Well, not last night, yeah. But
God, I don't want them to report back to base they're monitoring me. I'm in trouble.
But, I mean, I did see one once, and I that's definitely the distinct feeling that I got, was that he did not want to be seen and was just hanging out watching, and for what reason, I don't know.
Yeah.
Did anybody come up with a theory that might... even being, like, obviously without asking one, you know, and getting an answer.
Yeah.
We're going to deal with just theories. But has anybody come out with some, like, totally wild theory or something hilarious or something that might even prove out to be true eventually about why they're here?
Well, I'll give you one of each, and I'll give you my theory, and it's just based on what I have collected so far and the connections that I can make and that I extrapolate from that. I do think that they are closely tied to ETs. They may be artificial intelligence. They may be some sort of ultra-terrestrial or maybe even a type of extraterrestrial. That is involved in a very broad-based monitoring program of human beings. They primarily come and monitor us while we're sleeping, I think, because there's something in our sleeping consciousness that either provides the energetic pathway into the physical world, because they're not entirely in our world, they're not entirely out of it, or that there's something they can get from us more easily when we sleep. And in fact, I've even considered the possibility that maybe they're doing some kind of programming of us as well. I can't say that I have any evidence for that, but it sort of begs the question that if you're accessing somebody's consciousness and thoughts when their defenses are down, what are you doing with that?
Well, thanks, Rosemary. I'm not going to sleep a wink tonight now.
Well, I'll tell you a funny one, though. I found this in folklore. this is Italian-American folklore, and it holds that if a shadow man comes to visit you while you sleep, you should lie very still and not make any sound and let it get closer and closer and closer. And when it gets very, very close to you, if you can jump up and snatch off its hat, because most of them wear hats, it will, and I have to use a polite term here on the air, it will defecate gold.
Wow.
Really?
That's
interesting. Oh, I so want to try that now.
Yeah, Bonnie's going to be trying that tonight.
I'm starting up the Michigan Shadow Watch. I'm starting up the Michigan Shadow Man Watchers Group as we speak right now. I'm getting the website and the MySpace page set up.
And the gold account.
Yeah, we'll have to transfer those funds. That's a great way to say
they
that.
They have to wear hats. They have to be the guys with the hats.
Like the Spy versus Spy guys.
That's the one that I had seen.
I'm serious.
The hat on.
That's what we said. I mean, we said they kind of looked at the spy guys from Mad Magazine.
The one that I saw, that's exactly what he looked like.
That was for Italian folklore.
Yeah, Italian-American
folklore. Italian-American
folklore.
It's from Pennsylvania. That's where I picked it up.
Sounds more Irish to me.
Always looking for the
this
pot of gold.
A weird version of a leprechaun.
Yes.
I am a shadow man. How are you doing?
Really good.
That was a terrible. We got to get out. Yeah, we have to get Sean in here to the Irish guy for it. That was a horrible one. Okay, so we'll have to keep that in mind. Definitely.
Yes, next time I
mean, see joking aside.
Can I borrow your hat?
No, I'm going to snatch that hat off the dude. I'm taking it, man. I'm tougher than they are. I know I'm tougher than those guys are. I definitely am. Go ahead.
Rosemary, how about, because, psychics and intuitives seem to be able to read our minds, right? Or see, and people can see auras and things like that.
Yeah.
Has anybody gotten to... I tuned in to a shadow person, or I not read its mind or saw its aura, but what does it give off any of those normal human kinds of things?
No, they do not. They seem to emanate an aura or a presence of evil, maliciousness, mischievousness, that there's maybe at the very least a trickster sort of thing, but they are extremely difficult, if not impossible, to read. There's no communication. I have a handful of cases, I can count them on one hand, where people feel that they have had a communication exchange with a shadow person. And I think that's one of the things that makes them so terrifying. We can't seem to know what they're doing, what they're intending. Because we don't get any mental impressions from them, and certainly no verbal communication. Mm-hmm. I think that they throw out this aura of menace very deliberately. I think that's to keep us back, to keep us from asking too many questions, from wanting to get close to them, from wanting to have any contact, because if we know something about them, then we might learn what they're really doing with us.
Well, and it's the whole thing sounds it's scary in itself. These shadow, these black figures.
Have you ever seen one, Scott?
Me? No.
No. Rosemary, have you seen one?
I have, yes. They're totally terrifying. Yeah. And this is also what I hear from people who've had the experience is that once you've had it, you don't want another one. And some people seem to be serial experiencers. They have them periodically, sometimes when they seem to live in certain locations. Mm-hmm. So that here again is another thread, that there's maybe something in place that energizes their ability to come into physical reality. But they can come into a room, they can look blacker than black, 3D solid, block light, block the sight of objects, and yet vanish into thin air, walk through walls, go up like smoke. So they have the ability to be in our reality and yet get out of it. in ways that we can't. You know, they can just bend our rules.
Well, I'm gonna definitely sleep closer to the pillow tonight. Again, thinking about this.
Light on.
And I'm gonna have my hands cocked and ready to go. If I see that hat, it is mine. I'm telling you. But it's a fascinating subject, though. Like I said, and it is an ominous presence. These things. Again, the black figure. And now, if people try to tune into these things, psychics try to tune into these things. They're getting nothing. They're getting, you know, it's always the unknown, right? I mean, they're getting nothing from these things. They can't get any information. And I've learned this a long time ago that the unknown always kind of equals death according to human beings, I've found. So the unknown is a scary thing. And it's a really kind of weird juxtaposition of what we were talking about an hour ago with Simeon, where he's like, no, the unknown's great. You gotta have fun. You gotta try things, right? But it's scary, right?
Oftentimes.
Which makes these things very scary.
They are. I think they're one of the scariest phenomena out there.
Mm-hmm. And we're just going to have to keep... You've seen one, Rosemary? You've seen one? I haven't seen one. Maybe I'll see one someday. Rosemary, what do you got coming up in the future? We only got a couple of seconds here, but what do you got going up? Are you going to any other conferences coming up or any other events? We're going to be seeing you in June. I know that for a fact.
At Troy's conference, yes. I've got some investigations coming up. I'll be at Rick Fisher's conference. Going to England for 3 weeks. I'm going to be doing fairy research over there, as well as a little bit of UFO research. Very excited about that. Dragon Con this summer,
mm-hmm.
Conference in Utah. I have quite a bit scheduled. I don't want to get my writing done.
Well, it's always great to talk to you, Rosemary. It's always great to see you. We see you often on the road when we're all traveling. We all cross paths and hang out and get a chance to really sit down and talk with each other. And looking forward to June, that's all I can say.
Oh, definitely.
Being here, always a good time.
Your website
is... And Troy's Conference, it's one of the best.
Oh, it's Troy's Class A.
Absolutely,
it's Class A,
amazing. And the Haunted Lincoln Theater just totally rocks.
Decatur, Illinois, yo.
Your website...
So the guys from Dale's group got a very interesting photograph at the theater there at the Spooktacular in October of what seems to be a shadow figure.
Really?
Oh.
Well, I'm going to have to bug Dale because we're destined to get him on the show pretty soon.
Eventually, we have to.
We have to get Dale on here, so we're going to have to bug him for that photo, I think. Definitely, we're going to look forward to seeing you in Decatur, Illinois in June. Rosemary, hang on the line. Don't leave us just stay with us for a second, okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Just hang out. I have to say her website, Rosemary Ellen Guiley's website, www.visionaryliving.com.
I feel like I run a marathon tonight.
I know. It was quite a show. And then
drama. I'm yelling my head off.
With the
the machine rebooting itself. And
it just was quite a night.
Shadow people taking me in the middle of the night. I'm going to have to take their hands. I got a lot of stress on me now, man.
I know. You got things to do.
Oh, Sean's going to take me.
And
just the class I expect from this show.
And, of course, Sean's going to be doing a Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
Yeah, within seconds.
Within seconds.
Yeah,
so,
from our studio. We're honored.
Yes.
Yeah,
so our website is www.ghostlytalk.com, of course. And I have to thank Rosemary Ellen Guiley.
Our dear friend, Rosemary, yes.
And Simeon Hain for coming in. And
freaking me out.
And freaking us all out.
and our in-studio guests.
Yes.
And our in-studio
Sean.
Guest,
Sean Steve, thanks for hanging
out,
guys.
Thank you for visiting. And everybody listening, thank you so much for listening.
Hope you don't hate us.
And we'll be back next week.
Same time. I hope.
Maybe. We'll see.
Ghostly Talk!
You have been listening to Ghostly Talk Paranormal Talk Radio. The Ghostly Talk audio program is distributed for free under the Open Content License. Please share with all your friends and support independent media.